Coming today on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
Everybody is handed, you know, blessings and situations that are full of pain. Everyone, every single human being on this earth has gone through traumatic experiences, highs where we celebrate them, lows where we really have to find ourselves in. This just really is, you know, about learning to not be a victim of your own circumstances, but really create something different, that when you go through those low moments, you could ask that question, what can I learn from this and how can I move forward and what do I choose to have in my life?
So the big questions are these: how can we navigate and negotiate every situation in our lives, in our career, in our businesses, in our relationships, and even with ourselves for our own self-worth? In other words, what if you could win every time and have no losers? Let's face it, we're not negotiating just to buy a car or for a pay raise. We are negotiating for living in every aspect of our lives. How can we do that powerfully, successfully, and victoriously? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Rebecca Zung, and welcome to the time where you negotiate your best life. Welcome to today's show, Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung, and today I have a really, really interesting guest. Rosie Mercado has a brand new book coming out. It's called The Girl with Self-Esteem Issues, and this Latina superstar has had an amazing, incredible, almost seemingly impossible true story of the fight to realize her dreams. She was only 19 when the father of her newborn walked out without any warning. She didn't know what was going on. No college degree, no career, an addiction to emotional eating, totally overwhelmed. Her journey has included 3 husbands, 3 divorces, 4 children, years of abuse, infidelity, broken promises, and sleepless nights. Her weight had ballooned up to 400 pounds. She has now figured out a way to achieve small victories, successes, and one by one achieved where she is today. She's lost 240 pounds and found the life she's always wanted. So for anybody who's ever felt trapped, isolated, unmotivated, and this is the show for you. You've got to hear her story. This is incredible. Thank you so much for joining me here today. Rosie, I'm so happy to talk with you.
Thank you. I'm excited. I think there's, when you read that, what the book is about, and people listen, there's 2 types of people. There's one type of person that's going to listen to it and say, oh my God, so many excuses to give up. I give up. I'm done. After all of listening to that, I give up. And then there's the other one that says, you know what? I got to keep going. The light is going to shine. What's next? I'm ready for what's next. I deserve more. There's lots of learning lessons. So this book is just that. It's to be able to take ownership and take full responsibility for your own life. And just, you know, everybody is handed, you know, blessings and situations that are full of pain. Everyone, every single human being on this earth has gone through traumatic experiences, highs where we celebrate them, lows where we really have to find ourselves in. This just really is, you know, about learning to not be a victim of your own circumstances, but really create something different, that when you go through those low moments, you could ask that question, what can I learn from this and how can I move forward and what do I choose to have in my life? And just really taking ownership, and there's so much power in that.
Oh, so totally true. And most of the people who are in my community, my listeners, are dealing with narcissists. They're dealing with toxic personalities. Yeah. And, you know, that's really a form of bullying. And you've dealt with bullying in your life and loneliness and became kind of an emotional eater as a result of that. Can you tell us more about your journey with bullying and loneliness and emotional eating?
Well, you know, bullying really starts at a young age. And that's when we start creating those stories. For me, it was the age of 8 and 9 when I started getting bullied because of being Mexican and then my hips and my ass. And I'm just going to put it out there, my weight. And when you're at that age, you really are walking into this, you're innocent. Like, you don't understand what to do with that. You're just given this feedback from other kids your age. And then you start looking at what they're saying and it hurts and it's painful. And then you start accepting that and you start holding back and isolating and just not knowing what to do with it. And sometimes it brings so much shame that you never want to talk about it. You never start the conversation. You don't know what to say. You feel like your voice doesn't matter. You feel lost in that. And what happens as you get older, those same patterns show up in your relationships. Why? Because you've taken other people's criticisms as your true and only story. And because you have that negative self-talk in the back of your head, the exterior is just a confirmation of what's the chit chat that's going in there. If it's negative and people are being negative on the exterior, like they're confirming what's going on. So you start believing it. That's your story. And when you make that your story, you start accepting abuse. You start psychological, physical, you start tolerating relationships that you shouldn't because you're worthy of more than that. Whether it's overeating, shopping, sexual relationships, jumping from person to person, alcohol, there's just so many different ways where that shows up when you suppress those feelings and you don't know how to deal with them or you're ashamed to deal with them, that it shows up in other ways in your life. And then you don't understand why you find yourself either attracting toxic relationships, toxic friendships, or just settling for less than you deserve.
Yeah. And I can so hear my community resonating with so much of what you said. You know, if you grow up in this cycle of not feeling good enough, you attract people that don't treat you well. Right. Yeah. And so would you say that any of your exes, ex-husbands, whatever, were narcissists or had narcissistic traits?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely. And not just ex-husbands. I mean, it showed up in friendships as well. It showed up in different areas. So absolutely, I dealt with that. But I feel when it comes to that, one lesson that I learned throughout that life will reflect at you what's going on the inside. It reflects. Like you're attracting that into your life for a reason. What are you putting out? What is true about yourself that's attracting that into your life? And I have to take personal responsibility. And sometimes it's hard. It's hard to say, I've attracted that into my life. I've tolerated that. I've lingered a little bit way too long where I shouldn't have. And you have to really self-examine and say, what shift do I have to create in my life to attract something different? Because where the mind goes, the body follows, and the life mirrors back exactly what you're thinking, what you're feeling. It's a reflection back. So if you don't like that reflection back, it's time to do the inner work, the inner healing, and take that personal journey to self-discovery, to figure out who you are. Because number one, we make mistakes along the way. And a mistake and a failure, the only thing that is an indicator of what's not working. It's not a bad thing. We're human. We learn through mistakes. But if you could really stand up and say, how does that make me feel? Validate your emotions. Second, what is that teaching me? What's the wisdom wrapped around the pain? And then third of all, take ownership of saying, I choose not to do that ever again and move and grow forward with that. And if you're faced with that temptation or that pops up in your life again, what is that teaching you? It gives you an opportunity to make a different choice. So paying attention to that really is about personal responsibility.
So how, I'm curious to know, like, what was going on in your mind? Like just take, you know, one particular relationship that you may have had where you were involved with a romantic partner that, you know, continued the pattern of abuse, made you continue to feel unworthy, bad about yourself. You know, the name of your book is The Girl with Self-Esteem Issues, so probably validated the fact that you had no self-esteem, right? There's right. So many people who are listening to this today who are exactly where you were and feel trapped, feel paralyzed, feel
absolutely
traumatized. Like they don't even know where to start, like what steps to take to even start to get out of that. I mean, somebody might look at you and go, well, she's a, you know, an entertainment star. She had money. She could get out. Like, you know.
When I had absolutely no money because I failed at business so many times. There's so many times that I had a negative account. And I've heard that so many times.
Yeah. So tell that story. Tell people.
The money, or you have the beauty. Like you.
Yeah, you had the beauty. So tell people why that's not true. Tell us why, no matter where they are, they can do this.
So look, if you're listening right now, you might have the money. We all have the beauty. We all have the courage. It's whether you choose to see it in yourself. It's the story that you're telling. Because everybody in the world could look outside the box and look inwards and say, but you have this and this and this. You have a great family. You have a great job. You have this. But if you feel miserable about yourself or the choices that you have, you know, that you've made, or the people that are surrounding you, that is something that you have to work within yourself, because everybody can tell you different stories, but it's the story that you believe about yourself that becomes a reality and that you base your decisions off of. You know, growing up, you know, being bullied at such a young age, I took that as my personal story. Going into high school, being called a fat ass, a hippo, you know, being completely humiliated in high school, Those are stories that I carried with me. Those are the inner scars that nobody sees. Those are the inner scars that we take on the inside that we don't talk about, that lead into our love life, that lead into, well, if I don't make this decision, he's giving me a little bit of attention. I've never known what that feels like. Well, this is my last chance. This, I have to take it. Like, nobody's ever going to love me because my story was I'm fat and I'm ugly and he sees a little bit of beauty in me and that feels good. I've never had anybody tell me that I'm beautiful, but yet every other red flag indicates that it's a toxic relationship because of the lies, the abuse. I was investing more than that person was investing in a relationship. That's a red flag. You know, always uplifting me, you know, in the right moments to really be able to manipulate the situation to get the outcome that that person wanted. And not understanding that. Why? Because I would tolerate the mean things that were told to me. I would tolerate the infidelities, the abuse, because ultimately the story that I had in my mind was I'm fat, I'm ugly, nobody's ever going to want me. This is my only opportunity. And if I ever want to be in love and have a relationship, then I guess this is the card that I'm dealt with. I'm going to accept it. And that is not my truth. That is not your truth if you're going through that, if you're afraid. It is about looking at what you're going through and making a new choice. And how do you come to that new choice is by discovering who you are and how much you could stretch in the darkest moments. In the great moments, in those highlight reels of our life that we're celebrating, it's so easy to celebrate and share with everybody and connect and share and just, you know, scream to the world that I've like accomplished this. I'm so excited. But in the darkest moments, we isolate sometimes, or we're ashamed to even say that this is going on in our life. Or we don't have someone to talk to, or we want to do something different and we don't know what to do with the situation because we are paralyzed by our own fear. So one thing that I really learned, you know, when I hit rock bottom was, first of all, the story that I told myself had to change. I had to change the story. My first chance was not my last chance. Second of all, that I had to learn to discover who I was as a woman, and I had to date myself and learn to love myself and figure out, who am I? What do I love? Who am I about? Why am I so afraid to be by myself? The story that I was afraid of is I was afraid of being by myself because I thought I would never end up in a healthy relationship. So I gave it a different story. The moment that I left the relationship, the abuse, I completely flipped the script on. I was told, you know, I was told that I was fat, that I was ugly, that nobody would ever love me because I had previous divorces and I had kids. I had to flip the script of that saying, all right, yes, I'm divorced. Several times. I have kids. Yes. I'm overweight. Yes. What am I going to change that story into? What did I learn from that? Who do I want to become? This moment in my life is not about accepting their truth. It's about accepting the reality of what I'm going through, the decisions that I made, and saying, who do I want to become? This moment in my life is not about going into the next relationship. This is about becoming and having a relationship with myself. This moment in my life, I'm going to walk fearlessly because it's about self-discovery. I get to learn about myself, who I am, what I love. If I want the dress, I'm going to wear it. If I want to put makeup, nobody's going to hold me back. I'm going to find makeup. I want a new haircut. I'm going to give myself a new haircut. I want to drop weight. I'm going to drop weight. I don't want to drop weight. I'm going to go out for a walk. I'm going to dance. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to do the things that I've always wanted to do, but I was too afraid to, without caring what people say. We hold ourselves up from living the life we deserve because we're so focused on the criticisms and rejections from other people. And sometimes we just have to let it go and find that free spirit, that love in us. Just say, I'm going to say yes to me and I'm going to say no to all that negativity. You will not become the story that my life is going to lead by. I'm going to create a new story. It starts with being honest and creating a new story and being okay and walking in authenticity. I was so afraid so many times to say openly, I'm divorced. I'm going through physical abuse. I'm going through emotional abuse. It was traumatic. I was ashamed of saying that because I was afraid that people would look at me like I was broken, like I wasn't worthy, like there was something wrong with me because I got married and divorced so many times because I was overweight. And I was afraid that people would look at me like they would lose respect for me and for who I was. They had an image of me like that would be lost. And there's nothing more freeing than just walking in authenticity and saying, look, this is who I am. This is what I learned. Those divorces don't make me less of a woman. The number on the scale doesn't take that self-respect away from me. They're just guiding points. That's all they are. Guiding points, lessons learned. I'm more wise. I'm more compassionate. And you know what? You want to criticize me? That's a you issue. That's not a me issue. You want to love on me? Bring on the love. I'm here to share the love. That's what life is about.
Yeah, I like what you say about not being defined by the number on the scale or by the number of divorces or whatever. In other words, don't define yourself by your external stuff. Define yourself by your internal value, who you are as a person, the essence of who you are, your soul, your mind, not defining yourself by the external. Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if you find that you're going through these moments right now, ways to start loving yourself is asking questions, but asking quality questions, because so many times, like I said, it's easy to celebrate when we hit with those dark moments, when we're down on our knees trying to figure out, we go into this mentality sometimes. And I'm guilty of it because I went through that as well. And it was a learning lesson that we don't want to validate our emotions. It's okay to cry. It's okay to feel angry. It's okay to feel regret. But what I've learned is that you don't stay there. You validate the emotions, that those are real. Those are honest. I validate the emotions that I'm feeling, but I'm going to allow myself to mourn a relationship that's no longer there. I'm going to mourn a loss. I'm going to mourn the loss of my business, mourn the loss of a loved one. Those are things that as human beings, we need to be okay with doing. It's part of the release. It's part of the cleansing of your soul. But what's not okay is to stay there paralyzed in that moment. At some point, you have to want to do the work step by step. It doesn't happen overnight. Step by step of saying, of affirming, I'm faithfully guided. I will transform this moment of adversity. I'm not defined by my past. I define my future. I declare the present is everything that I want. I'm stepping up. I'm loving and respecting myself through this process. And I think that's where you start shifting, by shifting the internal talk that goes up in our mind. And declaring with words openly, even if you're by yourself, declaring who you are, what you want, and speaking it until you believe it. Speaking it until there's a healing process going through that you could no longer cry about it. When you speak of that dark moment, you know that you've come to a place of healing and understanding. Now you can ask yourself, what is life teaching me? What did that moment teach me about myself? And what can I learn from this? And what do I choose to do moving forward? Not what I can't do, because can't is a loop in our mind that's very restrictive. But when we say, I choose not to do this again, it's a personal choice that's aligning with your spirit of saying, I'm the one in control. I'm the one that has power. I get to say yes, and I get to say no. I'm the one that gets to choose.
Coming up, more on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
This really is about inspiring to step into your greatness, to take ownership of your life, to change the story, give yourself a different story so you can achieve your greatness, your heart's desires, and also step into your truth of who you are, that you're not your past, you are who you choose to be.
Is there something that's interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. You can connect with a professional counselor in a safe, private environment. It's online, or it can be through phone, chat, or text. They help you with any issue that you have an issue with, such as depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, basically anything you can think of. If you're unhappy, you can get a new counselor at any time. They're available worldwide. Financial aid is available for those who qualify. Best of all, it's truly affordable. Listeners of Negotiate Your Best Life get 10% off your first month with the discount code BREAKINGFREE. So why not get started today? BetterHelp.com/BREAKINGFREE. Simply fill out the questionnaire and get started. That's BetterHelp.com/BREAKINGFREE. Are you struggling with how to negotiate and win? Maybe you're dealing with a personality that's particularly challenging, like a narcissist or other high conflict personality, and you're feeling powerless. Make sure to download my free Win My Negotiation cheat sheet at www.winmynegotiation.com.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can listen to more episodes that show you the path to how to negotiate your best life.
Here's the not-so-secret, though. And that is, you are the stronger one. they are actually the weaker one, and they go to great lengths to hide that from you.
And now we return to today's show.
Yeah, and so when you did that, like when you're trying to learn how to pivot, you're basically trying to learn how to retrain your brain to have different thoughts, right?
Yeah.
And create new neuronal patterns. So when you were in the process of doing that and you came up with these, you know, I am powerful or whatever it was, that, you know, was your mantra, did you like put it on post-it notes on your mirror? Did you write it down in a journal? Like how were you able to keep it in the forefront of your mind?
Because I started paying attention to the moments of depression that I started isolating. So for me, it was about isolation, running to food. And changing that I started noticing that I started gaining weight the moments that I didn't know how to deal with depression. And the way I was dealing it is by going to food, or I was excessively shopping, or, you know, I didn't want to be by myself, or I would push everybody away. Like it showed up in different areas of my life in different ways. But understanding and asking myself, all right, am I going to food because I'm hungry? What is this doing for me? Because I'm gaining weight. What's the trigger here? Like you have to go deep down to go to the root problem, but no one can do this work but yourself. So for me, it didn't pop up into like, I'm going to write these affirmations and put them around. That works. That's wonderful. But for me in the darkest moments when I was crying, literally I'd be in the emotion of shaking and crying and hyperventilating. And I'd be like, I'm enough. I'm enough. I'm enough. Like literally saying it while I'm going through the emotion. And it was almost as I'm cleansing my soul, but I'm like, all right, I'm allowing you to feel, but now I'm putting something new into your spirit and soul. I'm in love. I'm enough. I love myself. I let you go. The hardest part for me was saying, I let you go. It was so hard.
Meaning I'm letting go of the old me. I'm letting go of the old way of thinking.
I'm letting go of my old way of thinking. I'm letting go of the excuses. I'm letting go of the people that hurt me. I'm so tired. I surrender. I let go. And I would be crying and shaking underneath my covers by myself. And those emotions were valid and true for me. And what I started doing is just started declaring something different because I got so tired of being in that place. And I just got to a point where enough is enough. Something has to shift. And for me, the shifting point was as I'm going through those emotions, not only validating, but also speaking a new truth in my life until I believed it, until I was done cleansing, until I was into the next stage of my life, dealing with a new issue to be able to transform. Because there's all these triggers that we have growing up and they show up in different ways. It's just, are you willing to look into those dark areas and acknowledge them and say, I see you, but you are no longer in control. I'm going to shift this and I'm going to do the work. And it does not happen overnight. You have to love and be patient with yourself throughout this process.
Yeah. And I'm curious to know, because I know for me, when I went through my first divorce and I have, you know, I had three children from with my first husband, a big part of my deciding to move on was my children and thinking I didn't want my children to see this and think this is a great example of a relationship and what they were going to have. And I know you have children and I'm curious to know what part they played in your metamorphosis and giving you that incentive to want to be better.
You know, during the three marriages that I went through, my kids were there, but I was not the best parent. And that's a personal, that I had to take personal responsibility. I was so wrapped up in my own emotions and my own depression, and my low self-esteem that I would do everything that a mom does from cleaning the house to making sure that they were fed. But to give them 100% love and support through that process, I couldn't even give myself that. So I couldn't offer that to my kids. And that was something that I really had to face after my third divorce, that I had to face the reality is that you can only give from a cup that's full, not one that's empty. And when I made the decision of getting divorced for the last time, I had to acknowledge not only the pain that I had caused them, I had to acknowledge the pain that I was causing myself. But really what helped me, like what got me to the point of hitting rock bottom was, if I stay in this relationship, I'm going to die. That was my truth. There was so much abuse in there that I was going to die of a heart attack or I was going to die from something else. And that for me was my wake up call. That ultimately was my wake up call. My kids played a transformation part when I started learning to love myself and understand that I was part of trauma in their life because I showed them what three relationships didn't work and what I tolerated. And now I had to change it around and transform not only my inner story, my inner dialogue, but make a different decision so I could teach them. Now, I fell down as a mom, but now I'm rising as a parent. I'm rising to find myself. And that is a beautiful lesson that although at the beginning, they were there and they were present and there was moments that gave me strength because it kept me going. Like I was a mom and I did everything that I had to do as a mom, but emotionally I wasn't available. Later, they got to be able to talk to me about how they felt, what they saw, what they experienced. And as a parent, I had to be quiet and listen. And that for me was a growing moment because you get to see your kids with a sense of love, but also it's like, wow, as a parent, how much impact do I have on my kids? And sometimes we do things without knowing how much of a direct impact we have on them. And to be just authentic and honest and saying, baby, I'm sorry, I love you for, you know, for who you are. And I'm sorry that you saw that, but just know that I'm on my healing path as well. And I'm finding myself. And to teach that to your kids teaches them that in life, although we don't want them to fall down, everybody has ups and downs. And the moment that they fall down, you pray that they'll be reminded the moment that you fell down, but that they saw you get back up. And they'll grab that strength of saying, I remember when my mom went through this. It was a hard time, but my mom got up. And that is the strongest lesson that you could leave your kids in those moments that you may not find that you might be around. You may not be around for those moments, but they'll have that valuable lesson ingrained in their spirit.
I love that. I love that. And you know, I can totally relate to that too. So in your book, you also talk about forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I it's so funny because I almost hesitate to bring it up because a lot of my community, they're so hurt. They're so angry. They're so traumatized. They feel so abused. And they're still trying to just get out. But yet, you know, I agree with you that forgiveness is part of the healing journey. But talk more about that.
Well, there's transformational forgiveness where you forgive a person that you may never get an apology for. And you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for your own sanity, for your own well-being. It really took me time to get to this point because before that, it was my ego running. I want to see that person get on their knees and ask for forgiveness. And I want them to beg back for my attention. And the whole ego part that plays, that movie that plays inside our minds that sometimes we're like, you know, I don't want to say that. They're going to think I'm crazy. But yeah, I had those ideas. I had those thoughts that I wanted to see that person come back and apologize. Like it was just, but it was ego driven. It wasn't about it's going to create healing because I'm never going to talk to that human being ever again. They're not going to be part of my life because it was just toxic. And then also coming to the understanding that every human being has a good side and a bad side. And it just so happens that in that moment of their life, I got to see the bad side. And understanding that there was triggers and traumas that they went through that I didn't understand at that point. So when you could really step aside and say, look, they have their issues to work on. That was not for me to take in. I tolerated a lot of stuff. That was for me to be able to say no and find strength. You just come to a point in your life where you have to be okay with letting go. Because when you don't let go, you'll find yourself several years by yourself. You'll find yourself resentful. It'll become so toxic in your system that it can manifest in a sickness. You'll find yourself depressed at times, always questioning why does it happen to me? And sometimes you won't ever get that. You will never find out why. Why did they cheat? You might never find out the real reason why.
And just to be clear, you're not saying forgive them and let them back into your life.
No. I think, no.
You're saying,
thank you for bringing
them
that.
Away.
Forgive them. They don't have to be in your life. The people, those men, I have let that go, but that doesn't mean like I'm forgiving you. We could be best friends. No. I forgive you, but no longer. You know, I let you go with grace. I want nothing of that energy in my life. That just means I'm no longer mad at you. I'm not holding that resentment anymore. Like that, whatever you have to deal with, that is for you to deal with. I'm no longer going to carry that baggage because it doesn't belong to me.
I love that.
I'm never going to carry that you cheated on me and make it about me. Like, oh,
exactly.
What did I do wrong? Why did he cheat on me?
Yeah, you can get better. You can get better over there. It's your problem.
Yeah, it's
you
your
have
problem.
It. You have it over there, but away from me. Exactly.
Away from me. We could be graceful about it. We don't have to be angry. And then for the women that are listening, even for the men that are listening that you've gotten cheated on, and I went through this, don't take someone's infidelity as your own personal responsibility and carry that, because that is a big
take it personally, because how people treat other people is always a direct reflection of how they feel about themselves.
How they
feel
about themselves. And not only that, you should never feel guilty of someone's infidelity. That just speaks about their morals, their values at that point in their life, or their own insecurities, or their own pain, or their own fear.
Yeah.
And sometimes as human beings, we're like, why was I not worthy enough? Why didn't you love me enough to be faithful? Why did you cheat on me? It hurts. I'm not saying that it doesn't hurt. It hurts so bad. Why? Because someone that is unfaithful to you, that you promised, that you vowed that you'd be with each other till the end, and that you'd be faithful, that for you might be a high value for you that you live by, and you live by that. But that other person may not live by that, or falls into a temptation. But that is their own issues that they have to deal with. I promise you that is something that they have to deal with. Life is so much better when you just say, you know what? I act out of integrity. I acted out of love. I gave them my best self. If they didn't value it, I lost. What did you lose? You lost nothing by not having that person go. They're the ones that cheated. They're the ones that are going to pay the price. You keep going with life with integrity, with high values, with love, with respect. And I promise you that you'll attract a different human being that's going to value that. But you'll be able to pay attention to the red flags. You'll be able to listen to that inner gut, that inner feeling that says, hold on, something's not right here. Because sometimes we also get into our own sticky situations because we avoid the red flags and we don't listen to fear. We don't listen to that gut feeling.
Absolutely. So quick question for you, really important question. What is your spirit animal?
What is my spirit animal? Ooh, that's a good question. Spirit animal, a lioness. Ooh, a lion. Like,
I love it.
Something strong and just.
And protects.
This is who I am.
Their kids,
protective.
Protects
yeah,
their kids.
I'm protective.
Goes out, does everything for themselves. Yeah,
yeah.
I love that. Ooh, good
yeah,
word. I love that
for me. Yeah, that's the person that came into lion. Lioness, like. Ooh.
Ooh,
it's like,
yeah.
Roar, here I am. I'm not afraid. My voice is powerful. I protect the ones that I love, but I'm not afraid to go after what I want.
I love it. Perfect.
Yeah.
So where can people find your book? Where can they find you? Tell us all about it.
The Girl with Self-Esteem Issues right there. It's in English and in Spanish. You know, you could find me at rosamercuddle.com. You could buy the book wherever you purchase your books. You could also listen to my podcast, The Girl with Self-Esteem Issues, in English and in Spanish, wherever you listen to podcasts. This really is about inspiring to step into your greatness, to take ownership of your life, to change the story, give yourself a different story so you could achieve your greatness, your heart's desires, and also step into your truth of who you are, that you're not your past, you are who you choose to be. Everything in life is a personal choice. The only thing you can control is you, your thoughts, your spirit, and your wants. It's the only thing you have control. Everything else is out of your hands. The moment you step into that greatness, you know what? Your life turns around. You start transforming, and it's about transformation. Doesn't matter the age, we're always in transformation. We're always students. And if you could take a look at pain with the question of, what can this teach me? Then you are just in a much better path for everything to come in your life. Life just gets better.
Absolutely. Beautiful, beautiful way to wrap that up. I thank you so much. And you're such an inspiration. And I know you'll be an inspiration to so many by people who listen to this. Thank you so much for being on my show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for stopping by and listening to this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. Check back next Monday for more inspirational pearls of wisdom. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love if you would give it a 5-star rating and tell me what you liked in a review on iTunes. Also, be sure to grab your winning negotiation cheat sheet at winmynegotiation.com. And remember, today is a perfect day to start negotiating your best life.